welcome to GPTV on the most beautiful Tuesday, the 26th of October, 2021. I'm up and about. How are you doing, Gary?
I'm doing great, Phil. We are out and about. We've had the shackles released, Phil. We're out. We're opening. Well, we're not opening properties because we can't really open them, but we are. We're doing auctions again, Phil. Live auctions.
Gary, how about that? We stepped out in the real flesh. We were able to auction in front of real people. They weren't just figments of my Zoom imagination. I was out, as you were, standing on the street doing what we do best. Although, Gary, Saturday, I did my first auction, and I must say I was a little bit tentative. I might have done 10,000 auctions, Gary, but I was a little bit tentative thinking, gee, I wonder whether this is still the same. Are people still the same? Do I still know what to do?
Well, I don't think any problem knowing what to do if talking about the auction at 5 Bruce Street in Brighton Eastville.
Whoa, indeed.
A big way, Phil, because I think we were hoping to get around $2 million, or the vendor was hoping to get around $2 million, and I dare say would have sold for less than that
Before I started the auction, they said to me, we would love to get $2 million. Please try and get us $2 million. And I just smiled at them in that little kind of little friendly country boy smile that I've got. And I said, don't you worry, leave it to me. Well, did I think that I was going to get $2 million? Quietly confident. Did I thought I would get $2.1 million? Thought it was a possibility. Did I think $2.2 million? That was starting to become somewhat of a fantasy. But lo and behold, I brought that bus home, Gary, $2,655,000. I got to tell you, that was a great way to get back on my auction horse, because COVID had thrown me off it. It was like I was born to do it, Gary.
Your auction horse jumped up on the back two legs, didn't it? Lifted you high up in the saddle and made a bit of a neigh, and you roared out there into the sunset with your hat on, Phil, with a fantastic auction. Got to say, Phil, at $2,655,000, that's an incredible price and an unbelievable result. And there are many property sale prices at unprecedented levels, Phil. There is a whole new ball game out there. And I've got to say, I did my first auction, Philip, on Sunday in Oak Grove. You know, I was looking for the mute button. I was saying to people, look, you don't have to mute now. You know, you don't have to mute now. Turn your video on. And, you know, there was a few people actually that found that quite amusing, Phil, because we've been so conditioned to Zoom. And look, if you've got shares in Zoom, I'm not quite sure they're going to be soaring as they were before, Phil, because I think now we are back in the flesh and back live. And by the way, for those vendors of Oak Grove, I'm sorry, we didn't sell it. It was the only auction we didn't sell, Phil. I came home on Sunday, decided to have a long, hard look at myself. But that property will be sold with an asking price of $1,249,500. That is a buy, Phil. That is a snap purchase.
Gary, you did let the side down, didn't you? Because we did sell 19 out of 20 auctions for a 95% clearance rate, and it was your auction, your performance, that stopped us from being 100%. But we still did smash the industry rate. The industry came in at a whopping 85%. But of course, Gary Pirin Associates brought home the metaphorical bacon with 95% clearance. So well done. Shout out. Oak Grove will go relatively quickly, I would have thought. Gary, how much do we have to do now as an auctioneer? I mean, I've got to tell you, in days gone by, you'd just roll up in your fabulously expensive leased car. You'd get out after Mr. Lee had washed it, of course. You'd get out of the car. And you just get underway. It was pretty simple. Now we've got to make COVID announcements. We've got to talk about being double vaxxed. We've got to point out our COVID marshal. We've got to ask people to stand apart. I've got to tell you, by the time the auction starts, I'm plumb tuckered out. I'm exhausted.
It's not like you can just sit in your lounge room in your undies anymore, Phil, and just let things happen while, you know, your wife makes you a cup of tea. Those days are over, Phil, indeed. You know, those days are well and truly over. And look, you talked about bringing home the bacon. Probably not a lot of bacon in Oak Grove, Ripper Lee. But, Phil, what you've raised as an issue and as a topic, and it's a good one, is the auctioneer vaccine dilemma, Phil. The auctioneer vaccination dilemma, because, well, we'll call it the auction vaccination dilemma. Because, Phil, How is an auctioneer? I want to know this, Phil. I want the answer, and I'm looking to you for some wisdom and guidance here. I want to know the answer. What are you supposed to do as an auctioneer when you've asked everyone to come to the house to make sure they QR register? You've asked everybody at the auction, please, if you're, we presume you're double vaxxed, we are outside. But, you know, an auction is a fluid activity, Phil. Firstly, we're not inside, so we can't control what happens on the street, Phil. But then you're on the street, you're standing there, people come and go, someone rides a bike, someone walks along, someone has their shopping bag, you've got someone that shuffles by looking up, doesn't know where they are. All those sort of things happen every week at auctions, Phil. Now, how do you make sure those people have been double vaccinated? Phil, it's the auction vaccination dilemma. What are we going to do about this?
Gary, firstly, let's just drill down into this a little bit more deeply, shall we? And just assume for purposes, and I think we can safely assume, that the great majority of the people that we work with, that we do business with, that we interact, that come into our lives, the great majority of them are sensible, law-abiding people that have just gone on and got themselves vaccinated. Having said that, Gary, I think it's pretty easy to tell a vaxxer from an anti-vaxxer. I've got to tell you, the anti-vaxxers, they've got a different look about them, Gary. It's very, very easy. You know, we're talking the anti-vaxxers, clearly, which now represent less than 5% of the population in Australia, heavily skewed to Byron Bay, of course. I mean, you can't get into Byron Bay now, apparently, if you've been vaccinated. So if you see anybody in the auction crowd, Gary, that's got a bit of a Byron Bay look about them, then I think you can safely assume, no. Just keep riding your horse, keep riding your net carbon free bike and just disappear, because we're serious about being double vax, Gary. And I think that the great majority of Australians, on a sensible note, have done the right thing. We will end up at 95% vaccination.
I don't think there's any credibility in anything you do. I've got to say, talking about, you're on this rant about Byron Bay. I mean, I've asked you a simple question, right? Well, it wasn't simple, it was a complex question. And you've just gone like a politician gone off on this rant to, I don't know, which planet you've actually just...
Now I know why politicians do it so easily. Like that little rant that I went on, which was completely had nothing to do with the facts of the question that you asked. But that's how politicians work. They just, if you speak forcibly, with enough charisma, you can just answer any question the way you like.
Yeah, that's what conviction will do, is it? You have a conviction about a message you want to get across. The question makes no difference. The answer's hardly makes no sense. There's no connection there, but you've had what you said what you've had to say. But look, I'm looking to some viewer feedback for this, Philip. And look, I'm going to put it up here, and let's get a gift, Phil, for the people that respond and for the best response.
Perfect gift. We're going to give away that beautiful Hunter Lab hand wash that we give Gary, just in case there's any vestige of COVID left on your hands. Yeah. We'll wash it away with that lovely Hunter Lab hand wash that we give out as gifts.
Yes, people who love drinking said they never thought they'd see more alcohol in their hands than they would inside them, Philip. But I've got to say that is I'm going to just go one last time. We'll move on, Phil. The auctioneer vaccination dilemma. I'm looking for answers. If you can help us deal with the person that just comes and goes at the auction like they often do. I don't know if auctioneers are supposed to run when people are on their bikes riding past them, throw them off the bike and say, give me your evidence that you've been vaxxed or get out of here. I'll probably say, look, I was just going anyway. But it's tricky, Phil, and there's a lot.
Well, it throws up questions, Gary, that I think, in fairness to the government and our health bureaucracy, who we've taken to task over this journey of COVID, in fairness, you can't think of every answer to every question that gets posed. They can just come down with these blanket rules. And, you know, I think your question really goes to, if we're holding an auction and there are members of the public standing on the footpath or outside the premises or the perimeter of the property, what right do we have to question anybody that's standing on public land? I mean, honestly, if somebody comes up to you standing on the street and they're not the government and they're not the police and they don't have an authority to ask you for your vaccination papers, you're hardly going to be all that accommodating to the real estate agent that comes up and says, now, listen, sir, listen, madam, listen, Sonny Jim, show me your vaccination papers. I think the great majority of free-thinking people would go, get away
Right. Yeah, I think so, Phil. And let me ask you this question also to the viewers. Somebody comes to an auction, like I was in Oak Grove, someone's across the road, the other side of the road, they haven't been vaccinated, and they say, well, I'm anti-vax and I haven't been vaccinated. What exactly am I going to do? Who am I going to call? Is there a group of people that will come along, march in and take them away from the auction? I mean, it's just, there's a lot expected of us as real estate agents, Phil. Sometimes I think there's too much. We're just salespeople. Like, give us a break.
Gary, you know, the thing I love is the fact that the laws are somewhat complex. They are somewhat, they're totally ambiguous in so many ways. And yet the government expects real estate agents, who generally speaking are the butt of all government jokes, they now expect real estate agents to solve the mystery, the complexity of the COVID answers, which, Gary, we are hopelessly ill-equipped to be able to do.
Of the auctioneer vaccination dilemma, we work on Sundays running around in suits. Doesn't that tell you that we're stupid enough already to supposedly working out these problems? I mean, look, if we were clever, Phil, we would not be real estate agents, because real estate agents, we might have street cunning and great sales skills and charisma and charm and all of that, Phil, but we're not that smart, you know. We just know how to sell real estate.
Gary, you said street cunning. I refer to us as gutter rat cunning.
Gutter rat cunning profession. I'm sure a lot of people dealing with this, Phil, I'll be encouraged by hearing that about the noble profession. And the RIV president, the new president, will be watching this thinking, who are these guys and how do they ever get their license and what can we do to take it away from them? Well, that's your problem, I suppose. Phil, let's move on to some of our sales for the week. It's been a big, big, big week in real estate, Phil. Look, by the way, we're talking about big, big, you know, it's like I think about the commentator said a big week in football. As a Melbourne supporter, do you get a chance to actually see Melbourne and celebrate? Like, do you get an opportunity for 5,000 people to go to the MCG or something and pay homage to the adoration of the Melbourne Football Club that's won? Do you get that chance? Is there any communication from Melbourne?
They are planning something, Gary. They are planning something. But probably this is a little segue to shout out to Christian Petrarca, whose girlfriend lives in the next street to where my son Jacob Kingston and his fellow housemates live. And we'll just show this photo up on screen, which is Christian Petrarca and his girlfriend walking past Jacob and Co's house, where we've got the sign up, and there it is. That's about as close as we got to actually celebrating Melbourne's win. But apparently the Melbourne Football Club will be doing something when we do open up. There will be something at the G, we believe.
Now, I did have a call also from a friend of our company's fellow real estate agent out in the Western Suburbs, Craig Stevens from Jazz Stevensville, who said, can I ask you to take down all of that stuff that's outside your house about the Melbourne Football Club? Now, he's a local and he's sick of walking up and down your street, Union Street, seeing all of that stuff outside the house, because he's quite frankly, he's a big Bulldogs lover, Phil, and he doesn't like having it rubbed into his face in his hood. Are you going to help him, Phil?
Well, the only thing I would say to Craig Stevens, if he happens to be watching the show, is that not only is he a doggy supporter, but that's where he's made his living, out in the western suburbs. And he has absolutely no right living in Malvern.
Well, that didn't quite answer his question, but it's another beautiful political play there, Phil. Don't address the issue. Don't answer the question. Just attack the man. Let's keep on. Anyway, Craig, I'm doing what I can. Maybe I'll speak to council and find some doggy supporters there and insist that they take it down. Phil, 7 Russell Street, now that was an auction that sold very well. Before auction, $2,150,000. The auctions are pumping, Philip, but a lot of pre-auction actions happening, Phil.
Gary, always love it, and we won't give the address away, but I really love it when people sell and buy with us within literally days. And so lovely to see the owner of that Russell Street home sell and within a few days purchase something not that far away from where she lived, and great to keep her in the hood because she's just the most delightful person.
Now, interesting story, Phil. I'm not sure if you've quite put this together, but we sold, and the price is undisclosed, I wasn't going to review it, but we sold the property at 64 Balaclava Road, and I think the person who sold Balaclava Road is going to a home, and the person that bought Balaclava Road is related to the people where the Balaclava Road vendors are going. Did you know that there's that sort of relationship there?
Well, yeah, you kind of, like, you've told me that story off camera before, and it took me a while to be able to pull these little chess pieces together. Probably completely gone over the head of all our viewers, but it is 6 degrees of separation, Gary. Always 6 degrees of separation within our community and within our geographical area, where somebody is related to somebody is related to somebody, or they grew up together and back in you know, the old country.
Yeah, back in Cootamundra. Phil, 45 Bamber Road sold for $2,700,000. A very hot competitive situation pre-auction, Phil. So brought up the buyer and seller alike there. Jeremy Rosen was out auctioning in Elsternwick, 481 St George's Road, Phil. $615,000 was the price. Well done. Multiple bidders on that. One of the results that was off the charts, Bill, was 81 Golf Road in Oakley South. Now, you'll only see that result on GPTV because it's not officially disclosed anywhere. But seven bidders, Philip, expecting somewhere in that mid-eights into maybe the mid-nines, sold for $1,170,000 pre-auction. So well done to Mark Kirkham.
Shout out to Mark Kirkham on that. And viewers, we are, since we opened our Carnegie, Murrumbina and Bentley office, which is, you know, covers a lot of territory, the number of homes that we're starting to sell in Oakley, that is a suburb to watch, I reckon. Oakley is a suburb that's always been a good suburb, but has been a bit of a kind of a community. If you knew about Oakley or if you'd grown up in Oakley, you knew how good it is. But I think that suburb's starting to open up to a wider audience. And if you think about it, train station, incredible strip shopping centre. And if you've never been to the Oakley Mall in the evening, it is just incredible. In fact, it's like something out of another country.
Well, it was, of course, you know, very well known for a very big centre for the Greek community. So
still is.
Yeah. You'd walk in the mall, Phil, you'd say, Kikanes, Kalamere. You have a bit of a chat there using some of your Greek bar agalo. You'd say all of those sort of words, Phil. And if it wasn't so good, you could talk about some of the Greek words I learned at primary school that aren't very complimentary, where, you know, I've got a very good amount of knowledge of swearing in Greek, Phil. I took it to Greece with me, and people had never heard that sort of swearing from an Australian mouth before. But and it was said in jest and in love, of course, Phil. But it's always been a very, very popular suburb with the Greek community, Phil. And, of course, it's been built up and built on, and still is a hub of Greek life and activity with that mall, Phil, with all the restaurants. And you can get a few of the boys and join up and do a bit of Zorba the Greek in the mall there. But what a great area, Phil. Fantastic.
It is a great area, Gary. And I was just saying, geographically, it really is on the other side of East Malvern in many ways. Chadstone Shopping Centre underpins access there. So a really, really good suburb. But I think the word is out. You're going to see more and more sales, particularly with our company happening in Oakley.
Yassel, Philip, let's move on. We can go to Hughesdale as well and talk a bit about that, because it's another suburb we had a great sale in, but we won't, Phil. We'll just talk about the property that we sold that was passed in last week. The sales agent there was feeling very disappointed because it was the only one that didn't sell the week last weekend, not the one just but the one before, which was 60 Talbot Road, Mount Waverley, which has subsequently been sold, Phil, for $1,555,000. Took 3 days after the auction and that was it. Bang, it happened, Phil. It just happened. And what else is happening is there's 31 auctions coming up this weekend and this week, Phil. We've got everything happening. We're going to start off with a shop, Phil, in Centre Row. This was the bank, and you can bank on this being a great property, Phil. 751 Centre Row, we're auctioning in conjunction with our friends at Grosvenor Commercial Agents, Phil, together with us. What a fantastic site this is for you. You are going to be the auctioneer on Wednesday at 12 noon.
I am, Gary. You could not find a better location. And if you're looking to buy a retail premises, this is a great property because it's a strategically well-located property on a corner, car park behind it, and in an emerging little strip shopping centre. Bentley, of course, just gets better and better. So you can't go wrong buying that.
Phil F. Dalisto, which is, thank you for that little summary there in Greek, Phil. Not that there's anything Greek about Centre Road, Bentley East necessarily, but you know, I'm just going to use all the words I know, Phil, before I move on to King Street, Elsternwick, Phil, because we're auctioning 1-8, 2-4 King Street, Elsternwick. I don't think there's a more magnificent property that you could buy anywhere in the world.
Gary, massive land holding underpinned by an old style block of apartments so that you can just get an income stream there immediately. You could hold that as a block of apartments. You could explore the development options of either adding on to this building or pulling it all down subject to council approval and building something bigger in a strategic land holding as part of the Elsternwick Activity Centre, and literally walk out your front door, turn the corner, and you're at the Coles supermarket, which is one of Melbourne's best Coles supermarkets, I'm told. I have been there, but you know, I haven't actually compared that Coles supermarket with other Coles supermarkets, but I hear it's an extravaganza.
It is indeed, Phil, and looking forward to seeing you at that auction. And by the way, Phil, we'll be doing GPTV together next week, next to each other.
Signed back by in person, Gary, back in person.
Yeah, so that'll be lovely, Phil. Lovely. 5A Mooney Road also is an auction that's happening on Wednesday. Simon Rodolnik auctions that for Leon Guzenfitter. Looking forward to that. Phil, on Wednesday at 6 p.m, we are going to be auctioning 6 Mitchell Road, Caulfield North. Love this property. Been talking about it for a while, Phil.
Gary, wonderful parcel of land together with the 1960s, really well laid out, beautiful home. So two sorts of buyers for this property, either the buyer that will actually love and utilise the home, or the buyer that says, hey, this has got a west back garden and a northern orientation from the back garden as well. So a northwest orientation in the back garden and in a street that just gets better and better.
Phil, we've got Chapel Street, an apartment there. I'm looking forward to auctioning this one. Fantastic one-bedroom apartment, right in the buzz and hum of everything we love about Paran Windsor, Phil. That is 103 at 233 Chapel Street, this terrific one-bedroom with a nice big courtyard being handled by Daniel Fisher on the Moorhurst Committee. Looking forward to that. Now, Phil, Virginia Court, we're not exactly sure if that is proceeding ahead or not, but it is scheduled for Thursday at 5 p.m. We can talk about what a wonderful property it is anyway, because it is, or they are wonderful properties. Phil, Thursday, 6 p.m, 269 Normanby Road, right in the heart of Caulfield North. I'm looking forward to auctioning that one. I'm meeting Glenn Bricker there, and it promises to be very popular. Leo Samuel, 1 at 7 Spring Road. He will be auctioning at 6:30 on Thursday, that property. Phil, we move into the weekend and we've got a very busy weekend. Shall we start to review some of the auctions, Phil?
Let's hit it hard, Gary. Let's hit it hard.
Phil, we're going to be starting off Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. David Thompson's going to have a beaut time auctioning this wonderful one-bedroom apartment, 6 at 18 Butte Street in Murrumbina. And Phil, I am going to be meeting you at 11:30 for an 11:30 auction in Norwood Road, where we had a thumping result in Norwood Road.
Gary, we love Norwood Road. It's four suburbs of the price of one. It's in North Caulfield, but across Orong Road is St Kilda East. Diagonally across Orong and Dandenong Road is Paran East. And just to the north across Dandenong Road is Armidale. Great location. We love Norwood. We love this house.
Pretty home, Philip. Been a lot of interest there. I'll be seeing you there at 11:30 a.m. While we're doing that, Leo Samuel is going to be together with Jack Slater in Nearham Road, not too far away, quite Nearham, in Nearham Road, Carnegie. Terrific two-bedroom, two-bathroom property. Phil, at 12:30, we've got triple auction action. We're going to be at 1 at 129 Orang Road, St Kilda East, Glenn Bricker auctions. I should say Simon Rodolnik auctions for Glenn Bricker. Terrific one-bedroom apartment. At the same time, I'll be doing a one-bedroom apartment myself, Phil, in my own hood, the street I grew up in, Phil, number 17, Gordon Street. And that used to be the site of, well, just across the road from the police station. If you remember the police station, Phil, this is a bit further down next to the classic cinema. You would have known the police station because you would have been detained in there a few times for
reading. I'll tell you an interesting story about that police station, Gary, that happened to me a few years ago. So I was driving along Orong Crescent, and I'm not the best driver, but I had to, there was something that I'm sure it was my mistake. There was something that I did wrong, and a car with a driver started beeping the horn and tailgating me in a very, very dangerous manner. So I started weaving through the streets of Caulfield North, and this guy in a utility was literally tailgating me. And he just, I'd turn left, he'd turn left, I'd turn right, he'd turn right. And he was like, this guy was coming for me. So I thought, what am I going to do here? So I rang 000. Right? This is a true story, a great story. I rang 000 and I said, can you put me through to the Elsternwick police station? I've got a road rage person tracking me. So I weave through Caulfield, I weave through Elsternwick. I'm on the phone to the Elsternwick police station. I said, I'm going to be there in about 2 minutes. I'm coming along. I'll be in Sinclair Street, and I will come to the intersection of Sinclair Street and Gordon Street, and this mad person will be behind me. So they had a policeman stand out on the corner. I drove into Sinclair Street, turned very slowly into Gordon Street, and the policeman got him.
Is that right?
How good is that as a story?
That is a great story. Do we ever know what was the story with that person? What was
it? You know what? I wasn't hanging around to have a chat with him.
Oh, wow. Very good. There you go. Nice work there, Phil. Good story. Must have been a long time ago. That police station had been gone a long
time. Yeah, it would have been about 15 years ago, and I have not improved as a driver.
It'd have to be longer than that, Phil. It'd have to be about 25 years ago, I reckon. But anyway, you haven't improved as a driver since then either. Let's move on. Saturday, Philip, at 1:30 p.m. We are going to be hanging out in Nearham Road. And this is 2 at 154 Nearham Road. Great two-bedroom property there. Truganini Road at the same time in Carnegie at 1:30. Phil, at 2:30, we're going to be in Carnegie doing a lot of business in Ormond, Carnegie area. St Hubert's. 8 at 10 St Hubert's Road, Phil, the block where I did my first ever auction, if I'm not mistaken. 1 at 19.
For the Ruglands, Gary, for the Ruglands.
Ruglands, it was indeed. 1 at 19 Wild Cherry Road, Ormond, is Leo's auction at 2:30 p.m. And Phil, Sycamore Street, 3:30. Daniel Pierre will be meeting up with Leo Samuel to do that auction. And we bring the hammer down at 3:30, also in Carnegie, in Wurrail Street, a great looking property. Let's move on to Sunday, if we can, Phil, because we've got a very busy and happening Sunday, Phil. We're going to be at 10:30, triple auction action, 5 at 38 Westbury Street. Well, I'm looking forward to that, Phil. It's been very popular. We'll be in those beautiful gardens for this terrific two-bedroom, two- or three-bedroom apartment with a magnificent rooftop garden, communal garden, Phil, in great order, an elevated apartment, extraordinary one. I'm looking forward to that at 10:30, meeting up with Michael Jonas. Phil, you're going to be at 20 Dover Street. Auction this five-bedroom property with Joel Sir. Great property too. Looking forward to that. And at the same time, with triple auction action, 2 at 59 Holsman Street, St Kilda Reese, being auctioned by Jeremy Rosen's. Two bedrooms, one bathroom, one parking space. Phil, we've got three auctions at 11:30. Look at your Samuel auctions, 4 at 2A Bukhara Road with Rishi there. Looking forward to that one. 20 Albion Street, Caulfield South. Phil, you'll be just around the corner with Joel Sir auctioning this fine four-bedroom, two-bathroom, two-car space property. While you are doing that, and Lior's doing that, Jeremy Rosen's is going to be in Bentley East at 28B Barrington Street in Bentley East, auctioning this wonderful-looking three-bedroom, two-bathroom property. Phil, we're going to join forces at 12:30 at 5 Craddock Avenue. Tell us a bit about this property, Phil, because I know that you've hung out there a little.
Gary, this is the late David Edelman really was responsible for building some of Caulfield's and surrounding areas' best homes. He was a man that really, truly understand how families live. And this is one of his creations, I'd say, from the late 1980s, maybe early 90s, where he was an expert in building homes from solid brick and concrete slab. The flow of entertaining areas here is just magnificent. I love this house. It's timeless architecture, Gary. I reckon it looks just as good today as when it was built. And the new generation of buyers have responded really favourably because it just works beautifully.
What did you do to upset that driver that he tailgated you, by the way, around Caulfield?
Well, you must. Well, Gary, there is no question I have admitted that whatever I did was my fault. Having said that, I think that violence is an extreme response to things that there's never any call for violent behaviour, Gary, never.
No, I agree with that, Phil. You can drive somebody mad and crazy, but you don't drive them to violence. Is that right, Phil?
Correct. It's just so unnecessary.
Exactly right. They can deal with you in other ways. Now, Phil, the property list is well off my screen because I pressed the wrong button, but I'm going to move on to Sydney Street, Philip, because Graham Callan auctions this terrific property, 2 at 28 Sydney Street, and that is in Murrumbina, Phil, two bedrooms, two bathrooms, and Jeremy Rosen's is going to be in Balaclava Road at the same time, 2 at 11 Balaclava Road. Big apartments, those ones. I know them, Phil. While we are there, you will be at 57 Teague Street. Great-looking property, meeting Sally Zellman to sell this wonderful, huge five-bedroom property. Philip, 8 at 2 Carnarvon Road, due to go Sunday also at 2:30 p.m. Jeremy Rosen's auctions for Sally Zellman. On Sunday, Phil, we wrap up in Filbert Street. Phil is the auctioneer. It's Phil in Filbert auctioning on Sunday at 4:30, the late day. It is five-bedroom, four-bathroom, two parking space. And that is all.
One of the best family homes you'll see, Gary. I love this house. If you haven't watched my video, watch it, viewers, because it's just a stunning house with one of the best north-facing back gardens, complete with the most beautiful swimming pool and spa. One of the best you'll see moving, going around.
There's a lot going on, Phil. There's a lot happening. There's a lot of properties on the market. There's a lot of beautiful properties coming up. Some great properties to review. Phil, I know we've got this terrific property coming up at 21 Polo Parade. Phil, do you want to tell us a bit about that? It's a bit of a feature property.
Gary, one of only two apartments. This is a bit of a local landmark. It's on the corner of Polo Parade and Rosemont Avenue. This entire building faces north. So your kitchen, meals, family room, all looks into a private north-facing garden. It's a solid brick property with concrete slab on first level. There's only two, Gary, and highly unusual to be able to get an apartment of this proportion and this quality in one of the best streets of Caulfield North. Literally, you just don't get these.
You don't, Philip, nor do you get properties like the one at 1A Leeburn Avenue, Phil. Now, this is an extraordinary property. It takes the entire ground floor, of course, with a beautiful northerly facing courtyard. But what a fantastic property this one is, Phil.
Again, another David Edelman project, Gary. Again, this has got this property has been designed with some kind of appreciation and affection to Frank Lloyd Wright. So it's got a Frank Lloyd Wright style to the building, but the apartment is three bedrooms, 2.5 bathrooms, and two of the best entertaining areas. So kitchen, meals, family room looks into a north-facing garden. The private lounge dining room looks into a west-facing garden. So total privacy, total luxury, and one of only two.
Clean lines, Philip, very spacious and summer-oriented. That's a fantastic property, Phil. Two others to quickly run through that are coming up. Some previews, 13 Elmhurst Road. Well, I remember we sold that house some time ago, Phil. What a great house that is. What a great-looking house.
Gary, stunning family home. And a shout-out to the vendor who has lived in this, loved it, and is reluctantly moving on. Feels like a brand-new home, Gary. And she further improved the property when she moved in. Beautiful polished timber floorboards, the most gorgeous, sumptuous marble benchtops in the kitchen. That's a beautiful home. There's nothing to do other than just move straight in and enjoy it.
Another property coming up in a couple of weeks, Phil, just going to review it as our final one. That's number 8, Amelia Street, lucky number 8. Phil, that's a fantastic looking home in a great street, Amelia Street, one of those very tightly held streets where things don't sort of ever come up. We've just sold a property there that was very popular. Now another one coming up. Looking forward to that one on the 6th of November at 10:30 a.m. You'll be auctioning that, as you will those others that we reviewed, Phil. That is a big wrap on GPTV. So much to talk about, so much happening. I can see you on your phone there, distracted, busy, getting to the next appointment, getting the next listing, doing the next deal, and working out the auctioneer dilemma, the auctioneer vaccination dilemma. We're going to get some viewers to tell us how to work it out, Phil, on ideas@garypeer.com.au. Send us your ideas and thoughts. If you watch the show this long, you must have something on your mind because you wouldn't stick around for that long otherwise. Phil, that's a big wrap on GPTV. Look forward to seeing you next week in November, Phil. Next week, of course, next Tuesday, Cup Day, Phil. I don't have a tip for you. Hopefully, look, that horse that won the Caulfield Cup was pretty impressive. Don't know how that's going to get beaten in the Melbourne Cup. Any Melbourne Cup plans for you, Phil?
No, not at this stage yet, Gary, but, it's just be nice to have a day off, won't it?
It will be nice to have a day off, Phil, a day off and a day of freedom as well, maybe not even wearing masks outside. So it's all moving along here on GPTV in beautiful Melbourne, which will recover from its misery that it's had, but it's on the way up, Phil, and property has never looked brighter and more positive than it is right now. I'm Gary Pierre.
I'm Philip Kingston. Thanks for watching. Have a great week.
See you next week.